Well, overcoming or outwitted is simply about overcoming the darkness that attempts to overshadow us, outsmart us, and cause our lives to spin downwardly out of control. Church, I don't know about you, but I 100% understand that spiritual warfare is something that is constant in our lives. It is probably a subject that we could speak on weekly as we all, in some form, in some manner, are engaged in some type of spiritual warfare in our lives. Some seasons, it seems to be a little bit more, while others, it seems to be a little bit more at peace. But we know that spiritual warfare is constant. We know that it is Satan's attempt to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. And he's out to do that, I believe, daily. Now, I do not believe there is ever a time to let our guard down when it comes to our spiritual lives. I know that's a big statement, and it's not meant to make you exhausted. It's just meant to let you know how much you need to lean on the Lord each and every day of your life. Because we have to not be in a place where we let our guard down. We have to surround ourselves in the things of God. And I believe that should be a daily practice for all of us. Now, although I do not believe that everything that goes wrong in our lives is directly related to a spiritual attack, I don't believe that. But I do believe spiritual attacks, they're very real. And there are those certain seasons in life when the attacks seem to intensify. And you've heard me probably in the last couple of Sundays, especially this past Sunday, I believe our church is in one of those seasons where the spiritual warfare has intensified. Now, as a pastor, I'll kind of let you in on my thinking. I never want to gauge the thermostat of the spiritual atmosphere of our church based on just a few battles that I'm aware of. Because sometimes, you know, in a church as large as ours, you know, there's always going to be some type of intense battle that's going on in someone's life. Sometimes it may be multiple battles. There may be 4, 5, or 6, 7. And for those of us that are around those individuals, we could say to ourselves, wow, man, the battle is intense right now, while we forget all of the others that are having moments of victory and success in which we should be celebrating with them. So I'm careful as your pastor not to gauge what's going on just by a few of the battles in which we face. However, I also want to be sensitive. When I feel like those battles are intensifying from the front row to the middle row to the back row and up into the balcony, and I see them, that they're happening in all different types of demographics and all different types of families, whether we have strong families or families that just come to the faith or whatever it may be, when we see those battles popping up all over the place, we know that we're in one of those seasons where we better dig in and get ready for some intense prayer and some intense battles. We go into some spiritual warfare. And I believe we're in one of those seasons. Now, in saying that, do I say to you tonight that as a church, are we defeated? You know the answer to that. Absolutely not. We are not defeated. Are we vulnerable to discouragement and becoming weary? The answer to that question is absolutely. When spiritual warfare begins to rise, you better believe it, that God's people, and specifically this local body of believers, when it is intensifying as it is, can we grow weary? Absolutely, we can. The next question would be, is there a way to keep standing strong and come out victorious in this season? Well, the answer to that is always. Always. Let's choose tonight to be victorious in our lives. Let's choose tonight, as we listen to this word and as we get ready to go into prayer, let's not be caught off guard. Let's not allow the darkness that is here to overshadow who we are in Jesus Christ. And let's rise up once again and let's put Satan back in his place. Amen? Through the power of Jesus Christ. Let's not allow the darkness to overcome our personal lives, because I know the battles are out there. Let's not allow the darkness to overcome our families, our church as a whole, and our efforts of reaching out and being the heart and the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. Because every day when I wake up, I pray, Lord, help our church have the heart of Jesus and let us be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ as we reach out and we minister to our community. Now, to overcome Satan and his attempt to destroy everything about our lives, you and I must continue to stay ahead of his strategies. We know that we do that through Jesus Christ, through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and through the growth of our spiritual understanding. I want to take you tonight just for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 5, and I'm going to read just a little bit out of this passage, and I'm going to take you to a few places tonight. Now, this particular passage is dealing with forgiveness within the church. There's been a member who's been out of line. There's been some discipline that's taken place, and the church leaders had to step in and take care of that. And now they're coming to a place where that has been done, and there has to be a resolve. Now, in this passage, we certainly see that it serves as a great lesson in how we should hold each other accountable within the church, how we should demonstrate true forgiveness, and how we should pick up and be willing to move forward. But what I really want to do is zero in on verse number 11, and you'll see it as we read it here together, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 5. It says, "Now if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, but to all of you." So that's the individual within the church that's caused some disruption. Verse 6. "For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him, for this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. What I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ." So the Apostle Paul really encouraging the church here of Corinth to receive back this individual who has been disciplined, show forgiveness, show mercy, show love, and get back to being who God has called you to be as individuals and as a church. And notice how he says this in verse 11 as he talks about that forgiveness. "We do this so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs." Now look at that verse real closely. "So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs." You see, Paul strongly states that we are not to be outsmarted by our adversary. If the believers of the Corinthian church held on to the grudges and the strife by being unwilling to forgive this individual or individuals, we know that Satan would have the advantage. They knew what to do, and so Paul is, he's calling out to them and he is saying to them, "Are you going to be overcomers in this, or are you going to allow Satan to outwit you and then have more control or more influence or more authority among your lives?" Now, as we think about that statement that the Apostle Paul speaks to the church, I think it's a great question that you and I should ask ourselves. We should ask ourselves this. Now, although our situation may look a little bit different, we're not necessarily talking about the discipline of a brother or a sister, but I think the thought that he brings out there really helps us to understand here something that you and I need to be aware of, and that is this. Are we really aware of Satan's designs around us that are out there to try to bring us down? Are we aware of his schemes to cause havoc to increase in our lives, for darkness to spread, and for heaviness to gain momentum as he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy? Are you and I tonight, are we going to be overcomers in this season that we're in right now, or are we going to be outwitted by Satan's strategies that he's developed just for you, just for your family, just for this ministry, just for this church? That's the question I'm really posing you tonight. With this being said, I want to take a few moments and I want to consider some elements of the attacks that are against our lives. First off, let's consider this thought: the reality of spiritual warfare. Church, I believe you are with me on this. Satan's designs are very much real, and they are very much at work. The darkness of evil in this world is as real as the air that you and I breathe. Sometimes I believe we get desensitized to that. Sometimes I don't think that we look at our adversary in a way that shows him to be incredibly real in who he is. I never, ever want to glorify who Satan is. I never, ever want to lift up how powerful and deceptive that he is. But I have to realize this in my heart and my mind as I go into spiritual warfare, because when I go into battle through prayer, when I go into battle through the Word of God, when I go into battle for my brothers and sisters, I got to understand I'm not fighting a cartoon character. I'm fighting a being who is very real. Just as real as Jesus Christ is, just as real as the cross is, so is our adversary Satan, who lives in the very pit of hell. So is the demonic spirits that are around us. So is the darkness that surrounds us that tries to hover over us. All of that is real. Certainly, we're not going to glorify the power of that, because we know that we're going to glorify Jesus Christ, because it is Jesus who helps us to overcome all of that. But in this moment, a spiritual warfare. I've got to not negate. I cannot negate the power of what is taking place, the battle that is taking place. We know that it is real. You know the scripture well. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's a pretty powerful thought. That helps you kind of pull back the curtain into the spiritual realm and realize that what is happening, it's not some walk in the park. It's not some stalemate battle. But it is an intense battle that is going on in the spiritual realm where Jesus Christ and his army is fighting on our behalf. And Satan, who is he fighting? Well, he knows he has already been defeated by Christ. So who's he after? He's after the followers of Jesus. He's after those that have not yet accepted Jesus. He wants to keep them away from him. And for the follower, and although they may have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and he cannot take that away from you, he's certainly going to be on the attack to do everything to cause havoc in your lives. He will do that to bring your zeal down, your passion down, your fervor down for the Lord. He will try to destroy your faith, because if he can just kind of keep you down and keep you quiet and keep you discouraged and keep you thinking that maybe this is not worth it, if he can kind of keep you in that place, then he's going to win battles all over the place. Because if the church is silent, if we don't go to battle, if we don't rise up, Satan's going to wreak havoc all over the place. The one group of individuals have got to say, hey, we're not going to lose to this. We're not going to allow him to get the upper hand. We're not going to allow him to outwit us or outsmart us. The one group that has to say, we're not going to allow that to happen, is the group that is sitting before me tonight. Because if we are weak, wow, the battles that are going on are going to be very hard to win. But if we can encourage one another and pray for one another and be there for one another and hold each other up and encourage one another and fight the battle together in the power of Jesus Christ, we know that we're going to have victory on our side. As we look at that scripture, we have to say to ourselves, to believe in spiritual warfare is to not only believe in God, to believe in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and angels in heaven, but it also means believing in Satan and demons and hell and all the strategies of darkness that are out to defeat our lives. We know what Scripture tells us. Satan is the prince of darkness. He's the prince of these airways in this current world. And as much as Jesus is real again, so is he. Now, again, I don't want to put a lot of focus on this, but we've got to have a knowledge about our adversary in order to go to battle against him so he's not going to outsmart us. So let's just consider Satan, this being, for a moment. We know that he was a created being who was found to be evil because of the sinful pride. And because of that, he was cast from the very kingdom of heaven. Now, we get an idea of what happened from the picture that is painted in the prophetic writings of Ezekiel and Isaiah. So I'll just take a snapshot of that. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse number 12, as it kind of gives us an analogy with the king of Tyre. It says this, "Son of man, raise a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, and sapphire, emerald, and carbuncle, and crafted in gold were your settings and your engravings. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were an anointed guardian cherub. I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire, you walked. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till unrighteousness," or some of your versions will say, "till evil was found in you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst, and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I exposed you before kings to feast their eyes on you." Now, in that comparison of this king, we know that we're getting a prophetic picture of Satan being cast out of the very realm of heaven. A created being who was blameless until he was found unrighteous. Now, I don't have all the answers in that theology for you tonight, because if you're like me, when you read scriptures like that, your mind starts to spin and you begin to ask these questions. How does all of that take place? But what I do know in my understanding right now, there was a time when he was in the glories of heaven and he was cast down because of the evil that was found within him. Isaiah compares the character of the king of Babylon with that of Satan. I want you to take note of this. Isaiah chapter 14. As I read this passage, I've even bolded them for you. Notice the selfishness of this passage and all the I wills. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nation's law. Lo, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. You notice his attitude there. I will do this. I will be exalted. I will be high above. And because of that pride, because of that evil that lurked within him, he was cast out of God's presence. And because so, he is the great adversary in which you and I fight to this day. We know Satan was cast from heaven. The scripture even goes to tell us in Revelation 12:4 that one third of the angels who chose to follow him, they were cast down with him as well. So he's got an army. He's got an army that he fights with. Yes, the reality of Satan and his designs of spiritual attacks against our lives, they are very real. And ultimately, thank God, he loses the war. Thank God he's already lost the battle of the cross. Thank God he's already lost any kind of authority there. Because Christ, right? Christ has defeated Satan upon the cross. But until Christ returns from the church, until he calls us all home, until it's all said and done, you and I have a battle in which we have to engage in against our adversary. And that battle is that he is trying to take away who we are in Christ. Discourage. Destroy. He's trying to take away our worship, our joy, and our peace. And if he can't get us, he's going to do what? He's going to go after something within our home. If he can't get the mom, if he can't get the dad, he's going to go after your children. He's going to do everything possible to wreak havoc in your lives so you'll just find your place hunkering down and doing nothing for the kingdom of God because you're so filled with a heaviness of discouragement and weariness. Can it happen? It can happen. Has it happened probably to all of us? Probably so. I know I can stand here and say, yeah, I've been in those moments. I've been in those moments where it just felt so heavy and it felt so worrisome. I've been in those moments just recently. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of heaviness there. But am I going to stay there? No. Do I know that that's where I'm at? I certainly know that's where I'm at. But thank God for the power of Jesus Christ. I am not meant to stay there. I am not meant to receive that and say, this is just how it's going to be. I am meant to rise up in the power of Jesus Christ. But in doing that, I got to make sure that I'm not being outwitted. But I'm moving forward in the power and the knowledge and the wisdom of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit so I can overcome the enemy who is trying to destroy our lives. We know his attacks are very real. You know the scripture. You know it well. John 10:10, the first part of that, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But the second half of that is Jesus coming to give us life and life more abundantly. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Be attentive, be on guard, be alert, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone who he can devour. So every day, I believe that is a mandate for you and I to wake up and put our mind on Jesus Christ. Why do I believe as an individual, as a Christian, it is so important to call upon the name of the Lord when you first rise up in the morning? Get your mind in the right place at the very beginning of the day. And why is it good to thank him before you go to bed at night? Because when you go to bed at night, may your dreams be in the name of Jesus Christ. May your thoughts be in the power of Jesus Christ. Is it important throughout the day to call upon the name of the Lord? Absolutely. What does that do? It keeps your spirit, your soul, it keeps you attentive to what's going on around you. It helps you to understand, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit within you, to help you know that if that attack is near, that it's coming, and that you're going to be ready for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you and I know that we are victorious in Christ, but the designs at work against us, the spiritual attacks, the daily fights, they are real, and they're heavy, and sometimes they can even be a strong hindrance. As we look further at that thought, think about Paul and what he said to the Thessalonians. He said this in chapter 2, verse 17, 18. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart. We endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again. But notice what he writes. But Satan hindered us. If you really think about that, the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, man of faith, man who when he was dragged out of the city gate stoned and left to die would rise up, dust himself off, and head back in, walking in the power and authority of Jesus Christ in his life, and the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. Even the Apostle Paul, he was hindered from doing the things in which he wanted to do because the attack against him was so real and so heavy and so wearisome. Spiritual warfare was real in the life of the Apostle Paul and all the believers of the early church. In the life of Jesus, we know that when he was tempted in the wilderness, and it's still very much real in our lives today. In Satan's designs at work against us. When we really think about it and we go through scripture, and I don't have time to pull out all these different scriptures, but there are many spirits of darkness being dispatched from the pit of hell. There are those unclean spirits that's talked about in Acts 5. Jealousy, lying, deception. Spirits of confusion, as we find in Isaiah chapter 19. Spirits that cause us to be faint. Spirits of pride, prostitution, harlotry, whoredom, sexual things that are immoral. Spirits of envy, spirits of self-seeking, even spirits of sickness, and a spirit of greed for wealth. We can go all throughout Scripture, and we can see how Satan has dispatched his army to go and wreak havoc upon our lives. These different demonic spirits at work among us, trying to drag us down. Now, that list I just gave you, I don't believe that's an exhaustive list. We're going to see many evil spirits at work within Scripture. But we have to understand that what we see in Scripture is very much real today. Now, in saying all of that, I'm not trying to bring you down at all. But I just want to show you the heat of the battle in which we're in. Because again, and I don't necessarily think that we as a body of believers, this specific body, I know your hearts well. I don't believe we look at the enemy or Satan as a cartoon character. I really don't. But I do believe sometimes we don't have our mind in the right place and we really think about the heat of the battle that's taking place. If someone was trying to break into your home and you realized that they were trying to break into your home, you would defend it. Some of you would call 911 immediately. Some of you would reach under your bed and take care of business yourself. Most of you. If you knew that someone was trying to take something valuable for you in your home, you'd be all over that. If you specifically knew that someone was going to try to harm your child or your grandchild, you'd be all over that. Right? You'd get your buddies and you'd say, it isn't going to happen. If you knew that there was something that was trying to come down your direction, your way, that was going to cause harm or wreak havoc or try to do something to hurt your family, if you knew that was coming, you would get up, you would get in the way, and you'd do everything in your power to stop that. Well, can I tell you, I know you and I can't see into the spiritual realm. I know that we can't really pull back that curtain and see everything that's taken place. I think it would probably scare us to death and then cause us to fall on our face immediately and begin to cry out to God. But what I'm trying to get you to realize tonight is even though we can't see what's going on around us, there is a battle that demands this church's attention. There's a battle for your home that demands your spiritual attention. There is a battle going on for your life, for your faith, for your spouse, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your church, for your community. There's a battle that's trying to take us out, and it demands the attention of every spiritual believer that calls upon the name of Jesus Christ. Every spiritual believer should be helping to carry the weight. Every spiritual believer should be suiting up and putting on the armor of God. Right? We don't need anybody on the sideline going, go, 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 go. We need everybody to suit up. Right? To suit up in their salvation. to suit up in the word of truth, to suit up in their faith, to place that shield before them, to move forward, to put on the gospel, the shoes of the gospel of peace upon your feet and push Jesus Christ forward and defeat the enemy. We need every single Christian to suit up. So why do we kind of talk about that first part? Not to glorify Satan, but just to let you know. And this isn't a message that we just say, oh, this sounds good for tonight. It's October. It's close to Halloween. People are dressing up like demons and stuff like that. So let's preach this message. This is a message that I believe is very specifically for tonight, for this body of believers, for us to be able to say, you know what? If we can suit up and get ready to fight against our adversary, not only will we be victory, but we're going to help a lot of our brothers and sisters be victorious as well. Amen. So let's talk about a little bit about the reality of overcoming. And I'm really just going to give you a lot of scripture right here. Because Steve Lee's words, his motivation means nothing. But the power of God's word means everything. Satan's designs are real, but so is his defeat and our ability to overcome and not be outwitted by him. Scripture tells us that. Let's look close at some scripture. I don't have them all up there that I'm going to give you, but I got a few of them. We go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy the strongholds. We destroy those arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. We can do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Every thought, every idea, everything that tries to exalt itself above the truth and the power of Jesus Christ, every stronghold that tries to discourage us, we can cast that down right now because nothing can rise above Jesus Christ in our lives if we will stand true with him. Romans 8, 37, 38, 39, you know it well. That whole passage is powerful. I'll just take a snapshot of it. And all these things, talking about the adversities and the persecutions that come against our life, and all these things, Scripture says, you and I are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And he goes on to say, for I'm sure that neither death, life, the angels or the rulers or the things present or things to come, nor powers, height, depth, or anything else in all creation is going to be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors through Christ. We are overcomers in every single thing that we face. I love Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Says he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and he has transferred us in the kingdom of his beloved son. You know why I like that so much? Because I don't have to listen to the authority of Satan. I don't have to be ruled by his command. I do not have to be influenced by his behavior. And everything that he throws my direction, I can just cast it down because I'm not a part of that any longer. Because of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, every single thing he throws at me, he's trying to rule me by his kingdom power. But I have the kingdom of Jesus Christ inside of me, and that's who I stand with, and that's who I fight with. Amen? So although that battle is intense, I still stand there because Jesus will never go down. And that's who I'm holding on to. That is who I'm holding on to. You know the scriptures well. I refer to the light of Christ on Sunday morning, John 1 and 5. We know what it says. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness will never be able to overcome it. Through the light of Christ, we will always win. John 8 and 12, Jesus spoke, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me, they will not walk in darkness, but they're going to walk in the light of life. They will have the light of life within them. You know this one well. One of my favorites, 1 John 4:4, children, brothers and sisters, you are from God and you have overcome them. Who is them? If you go back in the passage, you'll see that it's talking about spirits that are not of God, a spirit of an antichrist. And it says, you have overcome these things, for he who is greater in you, or he is greater in you is he that is greater in this world. We have the power of God inside of us. Certainly the designs, and I put those in quotations, certainly the designs working against us. They're strategic, they're heavy, and they're wearisome. But even so, in Christ, we never have to be outwitted, outsmarted, or defeated. We can carry on, and we can overcome. Now, in saying that, you and I cannot see into the spiritual realm. We don't have the mind of Satan. We don't know what his next move will be. We don't know which demonic spirits have been dispatched and working around us, although we can have some discernment of what's happening. We can't look into the pages of his battle plan and see how that's all going to unfold. So how do we outsmart him? How do we outwit him? How do we overcome? By putting our minds on Christ, by having the mind of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus knows his next move. He knows his strategy. He knows his plan. He knows how we need to guard our hearts and guard our mind and guard our words and guard our home and guard our church. He knows the prayers in which we need to be praying. He knows the passages that are going to lift us up. He knows the fellowship that needs to take place. He even knows the songs of worship in which you and I sing. I believe everything we do, he orchestrates and he puts together, and you and I have got to put our mind on that. And when we do, we will be able to outsmart anything that Satan throws our way. Not because of our great knowledge, but because of the knowledge and the wisdom of God that lives inside of us. It is in the moments of these seasons, and I know that not everybody's going to be in a season like this. I understand that. Remember what I said earlier. I'm cautious not to throw everybody in that dark room. But I'm coming to you as your pastor tonight saying a lot of our people are in that worrisome season. And as your pastor, I'm coming to you tonight very specifically on this Wednesday night saying, will you go to prayer with us? Will you go to battle with us? When you come to church the next time you're here, will you worship with all of your heart, soul, and mind? Will you be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing? Will you be faithful? Will you committed? Will you be loyal? Will you give of yourself and give of your time and give of your resources? Will you be willing to learn the person's name that is next to you? Will you be willing to call our brother or sister that you haven't seen in a while? Will you be able to willing to grab one of those prayer lists and start calling out those names? Will you be willing as a church to suit up and say life is more than just about me and my own inner circle, but it's about all the people in which I fellowship with together in the name of Jesus? I feel like one of the battles I fight is that more and more as time moves on, our circles, and I don't think we mean to, our circles get smaller and smaller. We got to take care of ourselves. I understand. We got to take care of our family. I understand. And we've got to be there for them. As soon as I'm done after service tonight, I'm headed to Fort Smith, Arkansas, because my mother went into emergency, into the hospital earlier, and we're not sure what's going on just yet. So I'll be heading that way. So I'll be there for my family. But right now, I'm calling you to say, you know what? Be there for ourselves. Be there for our family. But we are a family. We are the body of Christ. And where are some battles? And even though I don't even know all the battles that are going on, but I can feel it. I can feel it. I can sense it. I do know some of the battles, many of the battles that are going on, but I don't know them all. I can tell you this, it's time for the church to suit up and say, you know what, we're all going to be a part of this, and we're going to be overcomers. Let's not be one of those churches, not just individuals. Let's not be one of those churches that's going to be outsmarted by Satan's plan to bring us down. It takes more than the pastor, more than the pastoral team, more than the deacons and the leadership. It takes all of us suiting up and say, hey, we're not going to let Satan have our church, have our people, have our families. We're going to fight together. Amen? It's important. I got to return to probably one of my most favorite passages of scriptures. It is so encouraging. I won't read it all tonight, but I encourage you, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, read all 18 verses. The Apostle Paul, he's really encouraging the people. He says in verse number 1, he says, never give up. Never give up. As he goes down and he talks about what's been happening in their lives, he gets to verse 8 and he says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. You know it. We are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but we are never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are never destroyed. Goes on down in verse number 16. He says, that is why, again, he says it once more to the church, never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits, our spiritual man, our spiritual being, our soul, it is being renewed every single day in the power of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Do you feel that renewal? Do you feel that presence? Because if not, something's wrong. It ought to be happening. You put your mind on Christ. I'm telling you, every day you're being renewed. Verse 17, for our present troubles are small. They won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them all, and they will last forever. Verse 18, so do not look at the troubles you see now. Rather, fix your gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now, they'll all fade away. They'll all be gone. But the things we cannot see, the power of Jesus Christ, his wisdom, his knowledge, his glory, that eternal reward that we're all going to receive someday, it will all last forever. I read that and I'm encouraged. And I would say to you today, do not be outwitted by the designs that are strategically working against you. Don't be outwitted or outsmarted by the designs that are meant to be heavy, wearisome, and discouraging. Don't be outwitted by those designs that are created to defeat you. Instead, tonight, put your mind and put your heart, the very core of your belief, on Christ and overcome and carry on. I want to leave you with a passage in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. You know this well, and so I chose tonight, felt led to read from the Message. Now, when you're studying it, read from the ESV or the New King James or even the NIV so you can get everything that's in there. You know it well as it talks about the armor of God. But allow me to read this from the Message tonight, because just as an encouraging word to you as we get ready to pray. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. This is a life or death fight to the finish against Satan, against the devil, and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. That really speaks to me tonight. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. I think that's why, if you were here Sunday morning, you heard me in both services, I'd mentioned that as I was reading that passage of Laodicea, man, I just stopped and I was just really, it's like the Holy Spirit just dropped this on me, and you know, a conviction and a time just of prayer and just to really seek God for a few moments before moving on. And as I continue on through the week and as I was preparing today for this, and of course reading it, and that's why I'm reading it out of this particular version tonight, that so spoke to me, because even though I know it, you need to hear it, you need to read it again, you need to see it, you need to have it in the depths of your mind. We are up against far more than we could ever handle on our own. I need my family, and my family needs me. I need my children, and my children need me. I need my church family, and my church family needs me. We need each other. We can't fight it on our own. Even in our own houses, we've got to have that support around us. And I firmly believe there's power in this. I know in the culture we live, we want to zip into church and we want to zip out and we want to mark off our good deed of going to the house of the Lord. But I'm telling you, Christianity is more than that. It is something that is inside of us, that lives within us. And I believe that we are engaged in a spiritual battle. And the battle is hot right now. And you and I have to rise up and say, I'm going to be engaged. I'm going to be a part of that. I know that if I try to do this on my own, I will fail drastically. You'll have to scoop me up off the floor, scrape me off of the floor, because I'll be flat by the end of the day if I try to do this on my own. I'll lose everything that's important to me if I try to do this on my own. But if I join forces with the body of Christ, and the body of Christ joins forces with me, the enemy can't stop that. Amen. I can't stop that. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you're still going to be on your feet. I picture Elijah on Mount Carmel in that moment when all the prophets were shouting, trying to be intimidating, calling upon the demonic spirits, the false gods. You know, there's all this craziness and chaos going around. When it's all said and done, Elijah prays his prayer. They're all being slaughtered. There's quite an intense moment that's happening. And when it's all said and done, Elijah's still standing there in the power of God. Picture the battlefield where it's just crazy and it's intense. You can't hardly see because of the smoke, because of the mortar, because of everything that's taking place. But when it's all cleared, and there you are standing. I saw this picture just a few days ago on the news. You probably saw it too, about a house that was built to withstand a hurricane. And although it had a little bit of damage, I mean, this thing was built like 3 or 4 times greater than the codes demanded. I mean, it had thick walls of cement. Did you guys see that picture? This house was still standing pretty much in good shape. Yeah, it had some damage on the first level and the second level, but everything around it was demolished. But that house was still standing. I read that passage and I'm thinking, it might get a little bit crazy. And there may be moments going on that I don't see everything that's going on. But at the end of the day, in my armor and with the power of Jesus Christ, I'm going to be standing when the shouting's done. Verse 14, truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation, they're more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and pray long. In other words, pray with endurance.